Welcome to another exciting week here on Britt David Podcast as we continue our series, Because He Lives, the Aftermath of Jesus' Resurrection. And Pastor Tim brings us a message today entitled, A Resurrection Revolution, from Philippians chapter 3, verse 3 through 14. Philippians 3 is such a beautiful chapter, and in it, Paul gives the evaluation of his life a three count. Three times in that passage, he says that he counts, and each of those times he is taking what the world counts as an asset, and he counts it as a loss. Do you ever find your priorities and the things you value in this life don't really match up with what the world is trying to sell you? Paul had a resurrection revolution, and it changed everything for him. It will change things for you too. Here's Pastor Tim.
Amen. You can be seated. During this month, we've been looking at some of the profound impacts of Jesus' resurrection. What does that mean? The fact that Jesus has risen from the dead, shouldn't that change my today? Shouldn't that change my tomorrow? I mean, the most significant event in all of human history is the resurrection of Jesus. And we sing sometimes, we sing, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. And we sing it in such a way that we face it anew because he lives. We don't have the fear that we would have. We don't have the anxiety that we would have. We shouldn't have the selfishness that we'd be normally would be normal for us to have. I don't face tomorrow simply looking for a promotion or looking for more profits or some kind of lucky windfall to come my way. Because Jesus lives, everything changes for me. And I want us to examine some of those things. And so today, I invite you to take your Bible and turn with me to the book of Philippians, chapter number 3. Philippians, chapter number 3. There are a few things that Paul has to say to us today about how the resurrection changed his whole direction. It gave him a resurrection revolution, if you will. And that's what we should have. If we're looking for revival in our own personal lives or in our life as a church corporately, we're looking for a revolution. We're looking for Jesus to do something fresh, something new, something radical, something that leads us towards his holiness. We're looking for him to live his resurrection life through us, right? So that the life that I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and who gave himself for me. We turn to Philippians chapter number 3. We find Paul talking somewhat, it's almost as if he gets on a little bit of a tangent and begins to talk about himself. And then he brings all of that into perspective about the change that the resurrection brings versus what a corporate world might bring to what he has to say. I want to show you six different things today that Jesus' resurrection gives to me, gives to you, gives to Paul, something that is brand new in your life. Resurrection brings newness, doesn't it? So if you're following along, here we go. Number one, I want you to see that Jesus' resurrection gives me new priorities. It gives me new priorities. The priorities that I had before I became a Christian are far different than the priorities that I have in life now. Some of that has to do simply with growing, and it has to do with, well, I was going to say maturity, but you just laugh at that. So, you know, just getting older sometimes changes your priorities. But nothing changes a person's priorities the way that Jesus' resurrection changes them. The way that him coming into your life and being a part of your life really does change. In fact, look, if you will, let's pick it up in verse 3. How about that? In verse number 3, Paul says, for we, he's talking about him, he's talking about other believers, he's talking about you, we are the circumcision. What does he mean by that? There were some who were saying because they had been Jewish, because they had been followers of Jehovah in that way, and had those men had found themselves circumcised, and they wore it as a badge of honor. So much so, and so directly tied is Christianity to Judaism, that some were saying, well, if you really want to become a Christian, you have to become a Jew first. And if you really want to become a Christian, before you're ever baptized, you need to be circumcised. And what Paul is saying is, the circumcision of the flesh is one thing. Circumcision of the heart is something totally different. And that's what he's talking about. He says, we are the circumcision. In those other verses, if you'd read those first ones, he's talking about those who want to mutilate their bodies and wear that as some kind of trophy, as if they're following God closer than other people. We are the circumcision. We are his family. We are his people, identified not by the cutting of the flesh, but by the cutting of our heart, by the conviction that God has brought to us and our yieldedness then to Christ. Our merit badge, so to speak, is not something that's done in the flesh, but is the Spirit of God who lives within us. And so he says this, because we are the circumcision, look in verse number 3. He says, we are the ones who worship God in the Spirit, who rejoice in Christ Jesus, and who have no confidence in the flesh. Those are changes, aren't they? They're changes in priorities. It used to be, maybe for some of you, that Sunday, you used to say, is my only day to sleep in. I can't go to church. It's my only day. Listen, I don't need a day to sleep in. But I do need a day when I'll come to God's house, to gather with God's people around God's word, to worship him in spirit and in truth. I need that. You need that. And so he says, there is a change that's coming, a change that's in your calendar. Sundays are the Lord's days. These are the days when I give myself to coming together to worship with his people. And unless something providentially hinders me from being here, I'm going to be here. This is where I belong. You are my church family, and he is my Lord. This is where I need to be. I need to worship God in the Spirit. I need to rejoice in Christ Jesus. Even when those things are difficult in life, I still have reason to rejoice because he's with me. He never will leave me. He never will forsake me. He never leaves me to fight those battles on my own. And so I rejoice in that. Rejoice even in the struggles, even in the trials. And then he says this, this may be the biggest change of them all that he mentions in this verse. He says, we are the ones who have no confidence in the flesh. Our world does. And our world continues to push you that way. Our world wants you to see where your value is based on your skills, based on your talents, based on your abilities, based on your achievements, based on your possessions. And they'll say the more of those that you can gather together, then the better off that you are and the more that God will love you. That's not true, is it? Those things that we used to count and say that's what matters in life. The closer you get to Jesus, the closer you find out that some of those things just don't matter at all. Suddenly it doesn't matter as much what kind of house I have. Suddenly it doesn't matter what kind of car I drive. Suddenly it doesn't matter about the clothes that I wear or the place where I am. Suddenly everything that matters is that Jesus is alive and that he's going to take me to be with him one of these days. I'm going to live with him forever and forever and forever. And everything gets focused on that. If my house helps in that, then so be it. If my car helps in that, so be it. If my clothes help in that, so be it. If where I am helps in that, then so be it. But if it doesn't, the change in priorities is a change in discerning what is the main thing. What is the main thing? If you take this verse as a whole, one of those main things is worship, isn't it? You need a church home. Everybody needs a church home. You know, I remember when I moved to Athens and I went to Prince Avenue, somebody had recommended that to me. And so I went to Prince Avenue my very first Sunday. It was amazing. People were so friendly. You know, they welcomed me as this little college student coming in. You know, I found somebody to go to lunch with that day. The pastor made it an effort to speak to me. The message that he preached was incredible. And I thought, this is where I need to be. And so sure enough, the very next week or the next week, I decided to join that church. And one of my college friends said, Tim, why are you going to join that church? You're not going to be there but just for a couple of years at the most. And then you're going to move on. I said, two reasons. Number one, you don't know how long you're going to be somewhere. I don't know what the future holds. And number two, my membership belongs with me. Where I am is where I need to be. Where I am is where my church family needs to be. And as long as I was there, I wanted to have a place. As long as you're here, you need to have a place. And you have one, right? It should change my perspective and how I rejoice over these things and what it means about the confidence in the flesh. That leads me quickly then to number two. Not only does Jesus' resurrection give me new priorities, Jesus' resurrection gives me a new perspective. It gives me a new perspective on life. You see, when he says, I have no confidence in the flesh anymore, he used to have confidence in the flesh. Paul tried to climb the corporate ladder as much as the corporate ladder was in his day. This striving to be more and more and more is just as enamored in Paul as it is in any of us. But notice what Paul says. Look, if you will, in verse number 4 as he continues the sentence. He says, we have no confidence in the flesh, though I also might have confidence in the flesh. He said, I could have that. I can have confidence in the flesh. In fact, look at what he says. He says, if anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so. And then he begins to list his resume. Here it is, verse number 6. Circumcised the 8th day, that was according to our law. That his parents even did that for him. Circumcised the 8th day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. But indeed, I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ. That's a whole new perspective, isn't it? Paul is easy to be able to take that whole resume of his and take it anywhere within that Roman government and say, I belong. I belong in the highest place. I belong in the highest courts. I should be given the highest of responsibilities. Just look at all of these things that I can do. And yet he says, these things I have counted loss. Three times in those last two verses that we read, verses 7 and 8, three times Paul says, I have counted. I have considered. I have weighed these options, I've weighed what this means, and I've come to this conclusion. Look at these three counts that he gives. He says, the things that were gained to me, these I've counted loss. What's he talking about? He's talking about all those things in verses 4 through 6, right? and anything else that he has not mentioned, any of these things that are counted as gain, anything that would make you look at Paul and say, man, Paul, you're the greatest. Paul, you're the kind of man I want to be. Paul, you are a fine example of what a Jewish man really is. He says, all of these things I count as loss. But skip down to verse number 8, and you find that there's a second time that he counts. And he says, I'm not just counting these things. I'm counting all things. All things as loss. All things as loss. See, maybe we get this idea that we just kind of trade out. We take our resume and all of these things that other people would look at and say, that's gain. And we say, okay, well, now I'm a believer. So those things that were gain to me, those now I count as loss. These things that Christ has given to me, his blessings, his characteristics, following after him, things that the world would look at and say, that's not a gain at all. Humility, sacrifice, submission, yieldedness, holiness. Now listen. Paul even says all these things too. All things, the things that the world considers gain, the things the world considers loss, the things that I did not have before Christ, the things that I even do have now with Christ, I still count it all loss. Why? Because the end result is not humility. The end result is not joy. The end result is not yieldedness or submission. The end is Jesus. And I can get trapped even in the blessings of God. Many of you in here today are sitting right next to the greatest blessings that God has given to you in your family. My family is. Greatest blessing that God's given to me. But I can get trapped in that. And I can allow my family to take first place. And anything that's in first place that's not Jesus is an idol. So Paul says, I count it all loss. Just Jesus. I'll enjoy the things that he's given to me. But he says, I indeed count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. When you get down to the end of verse number 8, you find one other counting. Not is he counting these things. Not is he counting all things. He says, I count them as rubbish. You know, when I read the word rubbish, I think about trash. I think about litter. I think about trash that's piled up on the curb. Do you know the word that Paul uses for rubbish in this word, in this verse, is the same word that's translated in other places as dung. I count it all as poop. Only the very first time that my children ever made one, and I took a picture of it, you know, that's the only time that I've ever thought anything good about poop. Paul says all this stuff, it's like poop. When I compare them to Jesus, there's no comparison. Remember, Jesus said, what would it gain a man if he were to, or what would it help a man if he were to gain the whole world and then lose his soul? I can't let anything else be a distraction. God has given me a new perspective on life. He's given me new priorities. He's given me a new perspective. Number three, Jesus' resurrection gives me a new premise. A new premise, a new foundation, a new basis. for living. Stick with me there in these same two verses, verses 7 and 8. He says, but what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss. Now look at this little word, for. This is my premise. The for indicates this is my foundation. It's not just finding a chalkboard and writing some numbers on it and coming down to the difference or down to the sum, is it, and saying, now that's my answer. Why am I counting all of these things as loss? It is for something. That four is my foundation. That four is my premise for living. And he says, I have counted them loss for Christ. For Christ. Not that I might build a church resume. Not that I might build a spiritual resume. But simply for Christ. He gave us the example, didn't he? It says that he laid down everything. Everything. In order to step into this world as a human being. To be incarnated. Leaving the glory of heaven. Leaving that ability to be omnipresent. And putting himself in a body that begins to die from the moment that he's born and then dies a most crucial, excruciating death. Paul says, I do what I do for Christ. In verse number 8, you're going to find that word for again. Look at this, kind of a double foundation, if you will, a double layered foundation. It maybe you just say we're getting a little bit deeper. What's that next level under? He says, indeed, I count all things lost. There's your word for. For what? For the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord. That I'd know him. That is the most excellent of all things. Jeremiah the prophet said, do not boast in your strength. He said, do not boast in your wealth. He said, if you boast, then boast in this, that you know me. That's worth boasting about. You would boast if you knew the President of the United States. You would boast if you knew Governor Kemp. You would boast if you knew our mayor personally. You would boast about these people and drop names at every chance that you get. Don't glory in that knowledge. Glory in the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, your Lord. That is the premise and the foundation of your life.
Pastor Tim, thanks you for joining us here today on Britt David Podcast, and invite you to join us tomorrow for the conclusion of his message, A Resurrection Revolution, from Philippians chapter 3, verses 3 through 14. Pastor Tim would love to connect and share with you about a personal relationship with Jesus Christ and how you can know that you know that Jesus is your Savior and Lord. That address is churchoffice@brittdavid.org. We are located at 2801 West Britt David Road, Columbus, Georgia, 31909. Thanks again for joining us here on Britt David Podcast.